Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, it's so good to be here. It's so good to see all of you. And we are going to open with a prayer here tonight. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer, thanking thee that thou hast brought us here once again. For we know it is only by thy mercy and thy grace that we can come here today, that we can gather in thy name, and that we can worship thee in spirit and in truth. And I pray, O God, that thou would preside over this entire service here today. I pray that everything we do would be done according to thy perfect will. Talk to our hearts, O God. I pray that thou would continue thy perfecting work, continue to change us, continue to mold us, continue to shape us, I pray. And I pray, O God, that thy Spirit would be upon each and every one of us as we worship thee. Fill us all with thy Holy Ghost. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Well, why not sing that song we were just listening to moments ago, number 13 in the chorus book, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, number 13. Have thine own way. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me
Surely is
Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's reach out and touch the Lord here tonight. Let's go to number 76. Number 76 and sing, "Reach Out and Touch the Lord."
Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by.
Let's go to number 106 and sing, "He is my everything." Number 106.
Life for me.
Go to number 141 and sing Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Number 141. Sing, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Actually, number 42. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you. Yeah. Yes, we have so much to thank Him for. And we certainly need to thank Him for that precious blood that He shed. For that precious blood of Jesus washes white as snow. Let's go to number 45 and sing, "Oh, the Blood of Jesus," number 45. Collection now. Matt, would you help us with that, please? Thank you, sir. Thank you. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy provisions. We thank Thee for Thy love and Thy care towards us. We thank Thee that Thou hast enabled us to be here, for we know it is such a privilege to serve Thee. And I pray, O God, that Thou would continue to lead us, direct us in all things. I pray, O God, that Thou would show us what we must do in the days ahead. Help us, O God, to be a shining light in this dark and dying world. And I pray, O God, that we would serve Thee fully to the very best of our ability. Give us Thy great wisdom, I pray. Give us the understanding we need, the discernment we need to know how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory, for the cause of Thy name. And I pray, O God, that Thou would bless the givers here this night and also bless those who are unable to give. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise
the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we're going to sing one more song before we get started and turn it over to Shirley. Well, let's go to number 157. We haven't sang this one in a little while. Number 157, Open Our Eyes, Lord.
Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see love.
I believe that He is here with us tonight. Praise the Lord. I believe His promises. And He has promised wherever two or three are gathered together. Praise God. And this gathering qualifies. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We are going to turn it over to Shirley and see what the Lord has laid on her heart tonight. Praise God. Gonna change the battery real quick. It's on yellow, but that'll just take one moment. Praise God. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you.
All right. Glory to God.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
He is good, and you know it is. It's good to be here again tonight. I know I was so exasperated Sunday morning trying to get here. They had that big car thing at the park, and I was going down that way, and I kept on thinking, well, they'll surely let me through, and all the side streets were blocked, and they kept on, you know, motioning, you know, to turn, you know, towards the park, and I thought, how am I ever going to get out of here? Barricades all over, and I'm thinking, oh, I just want to get to church. But praise the Lord, I finally got to the point where you had to check in, and I just motioned myself by and moved the barricade and got out of there. I don't know. You never know what you're going to have to do in order to get to church. Praise the Lord, but it's good to be here. Oh, this place where we hunger and thirst, oh, to be in the presence of the Lord and to have that new touch from Him. And, you know, I know the psalmist knew what it was like to be hungry and thirsting for the living water. And, oh, yes, to have that place where he could feel the Spirit of the Lord ministering, and how wonderful it is we can gather here. I'm not sure that it's always appreciated like really we should, because we are privileged. There's so many out there that don't have this opportunity. I know just this week, I know a friend of the ministry mentioned in an email that he had felt the need to leave the Baptist church. They had been going there for 3 years, and obviously God had been talking to him, and he said he couldn't stand it any longer, and he was going to leave, and he was asking if we knew of any churches in his area, and oh my, I know of very, 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 very few churches that I could ever, you know, say go to. But praise the Lord, here we are tonight, gathering here in the name of the Lord and able to open up the Word of God. And we don't know sometimes, you know, we may have but little time to do this. The coming of the Lord is near, and He's going to come suddenly as a thief in the night. You know, there's not going to be a great proclamation in the paper the day before saying, get ready, the Lord's coming tomorrow. But we are watching and we're waiting. The signs are in front of us, and we can see all the attitude of people. We can see the coldness of heart and all what they're trying to do to this world, how they're trying to form their one world and all of that. And it all speaks to us to help us to remember and to know and to watch that our Lord is coming. He is coming again. The same Jesus. Oh, yes. They watch go into the heavens, is coming back again in the same manner that he went away. Praise the Lord. And he's waiting. Oh, yes. He's coming for a people that are waiting for him, that are right in his sight and without sin unto salvation. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can gather here tonight. We thank you, Lord, oh God, that you speak to our hearts. And oh God, you've given us this opportunity, Lord, that you've opened up our eyes. Oh God, that you've given us ears that could hear, Lord, an understanding, Lord, a desire, Lord, oh God, to know thee, Lord. Oh God, to be filled with thy Spirit, Lord, to have that living manna minister to our hearts. Oh God, we ask, Lord, that you be here, Lord, that you move in us, to change us. Oh God, that you get us ready, Lord. Oh God, that we wouldn't miss the greatest event of our life, Lord. Oh God, that, oh God, we wouldn't be somehow, oh God, just involved in the things of this world and too busy, oh Lord, to put thee first, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you would talk to our hearts, Lord, that you tug at us, Lord. Oh God, that you would, oh God, talk to us day by day and moment by moment and help us, Lord, to live in that expectancy, Lord, that you're coming soon, Lord, oh God, and that we must be ready. Oh Lord, be here tonight, Lord, use these words. And oh God, we know that without you we could do nothing. We ask, oh Lord, that you would use these words, oh God, to draw us to that place where we need to be in you, Jesus. Oh God, oh Lord, that, oh God, there would be no hindrances, but that you would bind and, oh God, break any power of the enemy that might try to prevail. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Our God is good. I'm going to talk about the power of prayer here tonight. And I'm going to ask that you turn with me to James, the 5th chapter. And I know these are familiar passages of Scripture, but I don't know if you're like me. I like to hear it over and over and over again. You know, I'll be turning someplace in the Scripture, and it'll be familiar, but I'll think, oh, Lord, I need this again. I need it again. And it just seems like, you know, we could never have too much of God's Word. It's always, you know, something that speaks to our heart and helps us. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And, you know, it's that lamp unto our feet and that light unto our path. And, you know, we need it. We need it continually to talk to our hearts and to help us to repair our lives accordingly to his word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. James, the 5th chapter here, and we're going to look at verse 13 here to start. Praise the Lord. James 5, verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise the Lord. We're going to stop here for the moment. And you know, here we have some very constructive words here that tell us how to approach God and how to be healed. And, you know, just how we can approach the throne of God. And if we look at verse 13, it tells us, or asks us, really, is there any among you afflicted? And, you know, afflictions are, you know, they can be physical, but they also can be mental. Suffering, anguish, grief of all sorts. It can be some kind of disturbance. It can be the fact that we are frightened or full of fear. And all these kind of things can come upon us as afflictions. But praise the Lord, here's a remedy. I like that. It isn't just a question, but there's a remedy with it. So the remedy is let him pray. I thank God for those times, you know, when the heart is heavy and it just seems like things are questionable and you don't know exactly what's going on. But praise the Lord, we can get down on our knees. We can beseech the Lord and seek His face. And, you know, praise the Lord, there's a time when that heaviness leaves and that great burden begins to go. And we know somehow the Lord has worked on our behalf to meet the need. Sometimes we don't even know exactly what it is, but you just feel it deep down inside, and you know there's something that's not right, and maybe with, you know, a brother or sister, or some circumstance, some need that we may not even be aware of. But I thank God how He puts it on our hearts. And there are times, yes, that heaviness, we're afflicted in such a way that there's no answer but to go to the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, men and women go to counselors and psychologists and, you know, people of that ilk and try to seek the answers that away. But praise the Lord, we know the great one. We know the one that has all the answers, and we can go to the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then it says, is any merry? And, you know, this is talking about times when the heart is lighter. And, you know, we might even feel jolly, maybe festive even, or perhaps, you know, certainly happy. And there's a lightness. And here it tells us what we need to do in such a moment. You know, we don't just need to go run and you know, be entertained in some lively manner or seek that sort of thing. Praise the Lord. It tells us here what to do. It says, let him sing psalms. Oh, yes, those songs of praise that come from our heart, those melodies that the Lord puts in, or maybe that song that comes to mind that has such a message to it that ministers to our heart and something happens. Oh, yes, when our heart is on the Lord and those songs come out. And praise the Lord, that's what He tells us to do. In those times when the heart is light and, oh, we just, you know, want to reach out somehow. But praise the Lord, we can sing. We can sing unto the Lord those psalms, those praises, those melodies that He gives us. Praise the Lord. And then another question in verse 14, is any sick among you? And yes, I think we've all had moments where we weren't very well. And again, it's not just a question, but the answer is here. Let him call for the elders of the church. And of course we know this Bible is written in the masculine gender, so that includes us women too, praise the Lord. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that's what we're to do. And we're sick and we don't know how to respond, tells us to call for the elders of the church and let them pray over us and anoint us with oil, of course, in the name of the Lord. For whatsoever we do in word or deed, we are to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then I like verse 15 because it's so positive. I'll tell you what, it doesn't say, and if. It says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I find that very comforting. I find that very positive. That's the word of the Lord. That's one of his promises, that we can come to him in faith, believing him, being anointed with oil. That prayer of faith, raising up the sick. And also there's a promise there that if we have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. I think just, boy, it was actually a month ago, I believe I just could hardly move my right arm that Sunday morning. And I remember that I asked Samuel to pray for me. And praise the Lord, you know, it started to get better. And God gave Leah a dream. And this was really neat. She saw me saying, the Lord has healed me, and raising my arm, and you know, so it was. The next day I was going to go with my girls to a town not too far away. It was Vicki Beth's birthday, and she'd asked me to go along with her, and so that was the plan, and I wasn't quite sure if I was, you know, really going to be able to move my arm enough to do that, but you know, praise the Lord, I was able to do that. And, you know, my arm just got better and better and better. And pretty soon I'm saying, you know, I can move my arm. You know, it's getting better. It's not so stiff anymore, you know. And thank the Lord. The Lord answered that prayer. Amen. He healed my arm, just as Leah had that dream. Praise the Lord. But that's our God. But He does say in Psalm 66, and if you'd like to just turn there for a moment, I'll be coming back here to James, Lord willing. Psalm 66, if you look at verse 16 here, the 66th Psalm and verse 16, it says, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul." Oh, that testimony that comes forth. Because the Lord has been good to us, and He's heard our cries, and He's healed our diseases. Praise the Lord. It says in verse 17, "I cried unto Him with my mouth." And I think there's something very powerful when we cry out audibly with our mouth. I think there's a greater impact. I know we can pray in our heart, and of course at times we all do. But there's something very, very strong about crying out with one's mouth, uttering it verbally. And it says, "He was extolled with my tongue." So not only was there a cry that came out, but there was exaltation and glory, praise that was given with our tongue unto the Lord. And then verse 18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." I'll tell you, that is the seriousness of sin. You know, sin will keep us out of heaven. And here it tells us that if there's sin in our heart, and you know, we've regarded it and we've not given it to the Lord, that He's not going to hear us. Oh, sin, the transgression of the law. And so many, Lord, don't even know these days what it really entails, what it really is. But it's, to be given to the Lord. We're not to indulge in sin. We're not to live in sin by any means. And here, yes, the words here, "If I regard it, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." But verse 19, the psalmist says, "But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer." In other words, He listened to my prayer. He heard me. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. "Then blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me." Oh, praise the Lord. You know, it would be so horrible to have a need and to have no one to go to. You know, to be in dire circumstances and have no way, nowhere to go, no one to turn to. Oh, it would be dreadful. But praise the Lord, we know that we can go to the Lord for any need in any circumstance. And if we have not regarded iniquity in our hearts, the Lord's going to hear us. Praise the Lord, and He's thankful. And as it tells us, going back now to James the 5th chapter, oh, these positive words, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Oh, sometimes we're in trouble because of sin and things that popped up in our lives. Sometimes it could be unforgiveness or something else that we're stuck with. You know, we haven't given it to the Lord and we're entertaining it in our life. And sometimes it's a great wedge between us and God. But praise the Lord, we can turn it over to the Lord. If we could just loosen up and let the Lord have it and take it. And, oh, yes, He's so willing. Oh, yes. Oh, he's so willing if we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. But here, yes, these declarations of faith of the Lord, that shall raise us up. That prayer of faith shall save the sick. Oh, yes, those sins shall be forgiven. And then it gives us another clue here. It says, confess your faults one to another. And notice it doesn't say sins. You know, some people think you have to go to a priest to confess your sins. No, our great high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one to whom we confess our sins. But here it's talking about faults. And sometimes there is a time to confess things one to another. And then it says also, pray one for another. Oh, yes, I believe something happens when we pray one for another. I'm thinking how it was with Job. Oh, yes, he had been so afflicted there with those boils. Oh, and it was so horrendous. He had been a man of esteem. And yet, there he was. Oh, yes, sitting there in the dirt. He trying to, you know, use some kind of potsherd to, you know, take away the burning itching that afflicted his body. And there was seemingly no reason for it that he could know. But there was a time when the Lord spoke to him and he began to realize, oh, there were things that he needed to give to the Lord. And God told him that he was to pray for his friends, those that had been miserable comforters that had sat around and accused him of all kinds of irregularities. And you know, something happened. Oh, God lifted up that bondage from that man when he prayed for his friends. And likewise, there's something that happens. You know, we have those prayer lists that Jane passes out on Sundays usually, and you know, that opportunity to pray for those individuals. And also, oh, I know there's so many more. I think everybody I know, there's, you know, a reason to pray for them. Amen, you know, praise the Lord. But something happens. We are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. There's something about it. We can't carry anybody else's burden, but we could pray one for another. We could help one another. We could comfort one another. We can exhort one another. It all is a part of ministry that we all can do. Praise the Lord. And there's something that happens. Oh, yes, when we there's probably 1,000 things that, you know, bother us personally. But it's much better, oh, yes, to bring the burdens of other people before the throne of God, that throne of grace. And something begins to happen. The Lord knows our needs before we ask. He knows those things that we have need of. But praise the Lord, when we bear one another's burdens, when we bring it before the throne of God, he begins to intervene in our lives too. Praise the Lord. And it says, yes, in verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. So you see, it's all a part of this process. It's a way that we show faith, and it's a way that we come to the throne of God. And oh, yes, that desire to pray for one another that you may be healed. And then the last part of this verse, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, I'll tell you what. That is a lot of words here that are pretty potent here. And if we're praying fervently, it's with all the heart. There's something about fervency. It's extremely hot and glowing. It tells us in the dictionary. It's ardent. It's you know, done with great emotion or zeal. And, you know, I mean, it's not something we take lightly, you know, just sort of, by the way, sort of thing. But he's talking about effectual prayer, a prayer that has effect. because it's done fervently with a heart, with zeal, you know, with emotion, you know, from the heart. Not lightly, but, you know, something deep. It tells us the effectual fervent prayer. And then it says again, of a righteous man availeth much. And I think, again, of that verse there in Psalm 66 that we just read, verse 18 in that chapter, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So praise the Lord, all these characteristics, all these adjectives here describe the kind of prayer that comes to the heart of God, that God reacts to, an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, it has effect. It's adequate when those conditions are met. Praise the Lord. But our need, oh yes, to be fervent, to be on fire, to be glowing, to have that first love. And I'm thinking, oh, there in the book of Revelation, that third chapter, when John, through the anointing of God, is talking about those seven churches. And in the third chapter of Revelation, the 14th verse, he begins to address the church that was at Laodicea. And this had been a church, I'm sure, that was glowing and on fire for the Lord a few years before this revelation. But there was something that obviously got in the way. In verse 15 in this third chapter of Revelation tells us, as God is speaking, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. And then all these words, and we never want to hear this, you know, we've got to examine ourselves and make sure that we're right in the sight of the Lord, that, you know, that glow is still there. We've got to, you know, encourage that all the time, because, you know, the tendency is to forget and to let things be and to go along with the flow and, you know, to allow this and that to come into our lives. That's our tendency as a human being. And obviously, this church of Laodicea had allowed a lot of things to get in the way and to hinder them. And so, they're told, and this is not anything that any of us ever want to hear. So then, in verse 16, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I will spit thee out of my mouth. Oh, those are horrible words that none of us want to say. And it says in verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I'm thinking of that prosperity doctrine that a lot of churches talk about and believe in. You know, saying if, you know, you're prosperous, then all is well spiritually. And there's a lot of people that just, you know, oh, because, oh yes, I've got a house, I've got cars, you know, I've got this and that, I've got some esteem, and all this and that, oh, everything must be good. That's not necessarily so at all. In fact, those things can be an encumbrance to our spiritual life. But these people there, you know, they thought they were rich and increased with goods, and they couldn't see their spiritual need. They thought they had need of nothing. They didn't know what they were like inside. They didn't know how poor and miserable and naked and blind they were in the sight of God. And he was ready to spew them out of his mouth. They had forgotten the things that mattered most. They weren't tending to the things that were spiritual. They were only doing the things of the flesh more so. And, oh, God was not happy with them. Oh, yes, they, you know, probably, you know, were pretenders or thinking that they were Christians. But God saw it differently. He saw that they were lukewarm. They weren't fervent. They weren't red hot. on fire for the Lord, and how we need to stir ourselves, how we need to stir, just like you would stir a fire in order to get those embers to glow. You have to stir it sometimes. We have to stir our own hearts so that that light doesn't go out, so the flame of God doesn't go out. Oh, God, help us, Lord. Oh, yes. This church didn't know their spiritual condition, that they were wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. Oh, God told them, He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Oh, you know, everything is manifest in the eyes of God. Everything is naked and open in the eyes of Him of whom we have to do. He sees right through any surface things at all. He knows what's in the heart. That Word of God is a discerner. It cuts right through the heart to know exactly what's deep down inside. Oh, that need. Oh, that need to stir ourselves. Oh, to get right with God. He's coming soon. He's coming unannounced. He's coming as a thief. Oh, yes, He's going to burst through the skies one of these days. We're going to see Him. And are we going to be ready? Are we going to be ready? Oh, yes. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. All those things that are proven and true. That Word of God, that thou mayest be rich, all the eternal things that matter, the things that we do for other people, all the deeper things of God, that white raiment, oh yes, that righteousness that He clothes us with so we can appear before Him. Otherwise, we're going to be naked in His sight. Oh, He's going to see right through us. We've got to have that garment on. Just as that man at the wedding, that story that Jesus told, tried to get into that wedding without the wedding garment on. Oh, God saw right through that. Oh, yes. He could have had it on. They were offered to Him. They were there for, you know, their use. But He had somehow refused to put it on. Oh, yes, we must come to the Lord. We must humble ourselves in the eyes of the Lord and come to Him that He might clothe us with His righteousness. We must acknowledge our sin before God so that His blood can cover it. Oh, yes, amen. Amen. And praise the Lord. We do that. And then, oh, praise the Lord, we can go down in the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, knowing that He has promised to fill us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Oh, that need to turn our lives around, to give heed while we can. Oh, to serve Him while it is yet day, because that night is going to come when, oh, it's going to be dark. It's going to be over. It's going to be too late. It's going to be dark and night. And, oh, too late to serve the Lord. And here it is. Verse 20 here in Revelation 3 says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Praise the Lord holding out, the Lord talking to our hearts, the Lord giving us opportunity to get right in the sight, to repent. Praise the Lord, He's knocking at our heart's door. And if we'll open that door. Oh, yes, if we'll come to Him. Oh, yes, if we'll appeal to Him and give our lives to Him in true repentance and surrender. Oh, He said He will come in to Him and we'll sup with Him and He with me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And thank God, verse 21 says, To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Oh, praise the Lord. We have opportunity, going back now to James, the 5th chapter. Oh, yes, we want to be glowing with the fire of God, that Holy Ghost fire that comes into our lives to burn up the dross. Oh, God knows all those excessive things that need to go in our lives. He gives us that Holy Ghost baptism and begins to work on us and to burn away this and burn away that, you know, get away with the rubbish and all the other things, oh, to, you know, turn our lives around. Oh, it's going to be a new life. Yeah, there's some clothes that got to go. I'll tell you what. You know, our vocabulary is going to change when we come to the Lord. Our way of thinking is going to change. You know, we're going to, some of those old terrible habits are going to go. Because the Lord has come into our lives. He's making us a new creature in Christ Jesus. But He wants us to retain that fervency, all that first love, you know. Oh, that first love when you first found the Lord and you want to go tell everybody how wonderful Jesus is. Listen, we need to still be doing that. The world still needs Jesus. And if that's deep inside, we want to tell them. We want them to know. We don't want them to be lost and go to hell. Praise the Lord. So, the grace of God, we keep that aglow in our lives. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord working in us. Praise the Lord. And then it tells us Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I'll tell you what, I love to read of the story of Elijah. And it tells us here he was a man, he was subject to like passions. In other words, he was just as human as any of the rest of us are. You know, if you know something hit him, it hurt. You know, he was subject to all the things that the flesh is subject to. He was a man, he was subject to these like passions, just as we are. But there was something that was deep down inside this man. It was faith. And he was able to pray earnestly that it might not rain. Oh yes, God heard that prayer. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again. And the heavens brought forth rain, and the earth brought forth their fruit. You go with me to 1 Kings here for a moment. I'd like to look at the life of Elijah here for a little bit there. 1 Kings. You look at chapter 17. We begin to hear of this man, Elijah the Tishbite. 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. And it was such a time in Israel. It wasn't good. It wasn't too good at all. Ahab was king. And sorry to say, he wasn't serving God. And he had married this woman. Her name was Jezebel. She was the daughter of Ethbaal. And he was the king of the Zidonians. And she served Baal and worshipped him. And Ahab was doing likewise. Even though he should have known better, he didn't have any excuses, did he? But he had raised an altar up for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And he had made a grove so they, you know, they could go worship in the groves. And it tells us that he had done more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings that had been before him. So here it is, Elijah, the Tishbite, comes on the scene, and oh, the Lord has stirred him up, and there's something glowing in Elijah. And it tells us in the 17th chapter of 1 Kings, the first verse, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And I'll tell you what, he declared it. God heard it, and God spoke to Elijah and said, okay, I want you to go now. You go. You go hide yourself. And he told him exactly where to go by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Get thee in, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And, you know, it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And I love how the Lord takes care of his people. Because, you know, Ahab and that wicked woman he is married to, Jezebel, they were so stirred up that it tells us that they went everywhere. Particularly, I believe, Jezebel had her servants go to every nation and every kingdom. It tells us in the 18th chapter, she had sent her servants to seek after this man, this one man. And she had made them, she'd go there and made those people in another nation even take an oath that, you know, he was not there. But God hid Elijah. God hid him. And I love that. God told him to go down by the brook Cherith. And not only that, but, you know, he commanded the ravens to come twice a day there to bring him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. So God took care of him. And God was hiding him. You know, Jezebel was sending her guys all over the known world, it seems, and they couldn't find him because God had hid him. And I love this. This is, you know, this is reassuring to me. It just helps us to know that no matter what, we're in the hands of the Lord. And he can hide us if he wants to. Yes, he can. No matter what. No matter what the surveillances may be in this world, how many cameras they may have here and there and everywhere. Oh, yes, and all the other methods they're trying to use to, you know, snoop in our lives and to know every detail as they possibly can know. God is greater than that. Thank the Lord. Amen. But, you know, there came a time that that brook dried up. Elijah had commanded that there was not going to be rain. And, you know, eventually that brook dried up. But praise the Lord, the word of the Lord came again to Elijah in the 8th verse in the 17th chapter. And this time, God told him to go to Zarephath, an area that belonged to Zidon, and he was to dwell there. And, you know, God had commanded a widow woman there to sustain him. And I just, you know, God spoke to him and Elijah knew the voice of God. So it tells us in the 10th verse, so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And it tells us in verse 11, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And, you know, she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. That's all she had. That was all she had. And she was just, you know, assuming that, you know, once, you know, she made and used the last of what was in the barrel and that little oil that was in the cruse, that, you know, there was no more. There was no more. And you know, they'd have no more food. And, you know, it was a time of famine. It wasn't easy to get food. And, you know, so she's thinking, you know, we're going to eat that and then we're going to die. And here's Elijah asking for a little cake. But God's anointed this man. And he says in verse 13, and Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me there of a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. And, you know, he's talking about faith. He's, you know, telling this woman something that would be really hard to do, you know. She's just got this little bit of meal and this little bit of oil, and, you know, it's just enough for herself and her son. And here this man, I mean, he's imposing upon her, and he's saying, make me a little cake first. I mean, you know, woo. It's a little much, perhaps. But anyway, he's testing her, and God had prepared her. And he had the word of God. In verse 14, he said, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And praise the Lord, God gave this woman faith. And she went, it tells us in verse 15, and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. The Lord bearing witness and allowing it according to the word of his servant Elijah. Praise the Lord. Our God is wonderful. Our God can do all things. Oh, there's nothing too hard for him. And if we could just have our faith in the Lord. So those years passed, just as it tells us in James, those 3.5 years were passing now, and it tells us in chapter 18 that the word of God came again to Elijah during that third year. And here he's told to go show himself again to Ahab. And God said, I will send rain upon the earth. It was time. So Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. And, you know, they were in dire straits. There was sore famine in Samaria at this point. It hadn't rained for 3.5 years. Do you remember back 2011 when we didn't have rain here? And, you know, the grass was like hay. And, you know, you could see the weeds sticking up like sticks. And, you know, if you walked on it, crunch, 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 crunch. I tell you what, that wasn't nice. It was just a little taste of what it's like to be in a famine. So here it was. It had not rained for 3.5 years. Oh. And, you know, Ahab had a servant who was the governor of his house. His name was Obadiah. And there's something about Obadiah, though, that was wonderful. He feared the Lord greatly. And it tells us in verse 4 here in this 18th chapter, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. God was making a way for those prophets. She killed those that she could, but there were some that the Lord was able to preserve. And God used Obadiah, the governor of Ahab's house, to sustain these prophets of the Lord. And, you know, 50 were in one cave, I assume, and 50 in another. And so here it is now. It's a time of famine. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto all the fountains of water, unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they're looking for water. And they divided the land. They split it between themselves. Ahab went away. This is the king. He's going out to find grass. I mean, it's that desperate. And Obadiah's going the other way to see if he can find grass for the horses and the mules, that they would not die. And as Obadiah is going his way, it tells us in verse 7, and as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face and said, art thou that my Lord Elijah? And Elijah answers, verse 8, and he answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And oh my, Obadiah says, oh no. And he's thinking, oh no, now, oh come on. This man, does he know how he, you know, they hate Elijah, you know? They try to kill him in every way they could. And, oh, what have I done? He's thinking, what have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? And he's thinking, well, if I go tell Ahab that Elijah wants to see him, he's, you know, it's going to be my throat. And he says, as the Lord thy God liveth, verse 10, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And, you know, he's thinking, oh, wow. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee, whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, they serve and fear the Lord from my youth. And, you know, then he tells them that how it was that, was it not told my Lord in verse 13, what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. But I'll tell you what, God had it under control. You know, Obadiah was, how can I do this sort of thing? But God had it under control. And so Obadiah did go to meet Ahab, and he told him. And Ahab went to meet Elijah. And, you know, I can't believe this man, Ahab. And it came to pass in verse 17, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubled Israel? He's putting the guilt on Elijah. But no, and isn't that just the way it is? The guilty often like to accuse the innocent. But he answered and said, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Oh, yes, sin. Oh, yes, that gets us in great straits. Oh, all is well when the heart is right and people are faithfully serving the Lord. But sin had entered in largely, and the people were in such a condition, their king being such as he was, the queen being such as she was, and they were in the state of great confusion, we find out. But Elijah has been commissioned by the Lord to turn the hearts of the people of Israel back to God. And so it was, he told Ahab, together, all Israel together there at Mount Carmel, and all the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the grove too, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab did it. There was something about Elijah that he could not refuse this command. And so he did send unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And here it is in verse 21, Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people, they didn't answer him, not a word. They didn't know how sad this is. They were to be the people of God. They were supposedly the people of God. But they were so confused. They didn't even know who the true God of Israel was. I have a feeling it's just like that today. If this is a Christian nation, then why can't you pray in the school? Why can't you say the name Lord Jesus? Why do they forbid it? Why do they persecute Christians and uphold things that are pagan? Oh yeah, they could probably teach you all about Mohammed, all about the Muslim religion, maybe go to a mosque and do all those things. But oh, teach the Word of God, pray, teach them, you know, read some scripture. Why, that's forbidden. Well, I tell you what, I think we live in a land where people are in great confusion. In fact, they don't even know what sin is anymore. Oh my, what a terrible problem this is. Because if there's sin in your life, you're not going to go to heaven. And here it is, people thinking that they're going to go to heaven, and their hearts are wrong. Their hearts are going the opposite way. They're not right with God. They're condoning sin, living in sin, and doing all kinds of abominable things, and thinking it's cute. I tell you what, God doesn't think it's cute. Oh, no. Sin is not going to get into heaven. We all need to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God in true repentance. But here it was, these people no longer knew who God was, even though they were Hebrew people. And then, verse 22, then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men, and he's going to challenge them. He told them to get two bullocks and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces, lay it on wood, put no fire under it. And he said he would dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. And he challenged them. He said in verse 24, and call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Oh, praise the Lord. So here it was, those prophets of Baal, they picked one of those bullocks, they dressed it, and they put it on the wood. And they began to call upon the name of Baal. And there they were from morning even until noon, and they were crying out and saying, as it tells us in verse 26, O Baal, hear us, O Baal, hear us. But Baal didn't answer. There was no voice or any that answered. And oh, they were getting so desperate. Oh, it was, you know, all these hours had passed by, and they began to leap upon the altar which was made. It came to pass at noon, and Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud, and oh boy, they're getting more and more desperate. They began to cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. Oh, I tell you what. Their God was not answering. Baal, who was supposed to be a god of fire, was not answering them. And it says in verse 29, it came to pass, when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Oh, those people were serving a god that didn't hear, a god that had no voice, a god that didn't regard them. Verse 30 tells us, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And it was time to call upon the living God. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Oh, they weren't serving God anymore. They allowed the altar to be in disarray. It was no longer in good condition at all. It was broken down. And he took 12 stones, it tells us in the next verse, 31. According to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, upon whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. So he repaired that altar, and with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as wood contained two measures of seed. So he's built this altar with the 12 stones, and then he's got this great big trench all around it, and it must be pretty wide, because you know you could have two measures of seed, in other words, you know, rows of seed growing in the trench and root for the two rows. So it's got this wide trench all around that altar. And then this man, he's showing faith. He knew his God could do anything and everything, and he was, you know, making it look almost impossible. He was defying even laws that God had ordained as, you know, part of nature. Here it tells us he put the wood in order. He cut the bullocks in pieces and laid him on the wood. He said, fill four barrels with water. He's going to pour water on it now. And pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And, you know, he said a second time, verse 34, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And by this time, everything was so drenched. All that water, those 12 barrels of water, barrels are big, you know, and he's just dumping, you know, one after the other. You know, water puts out fire. But what is this man doing? He's pouring it on the offering there, on the stones. All this water just drenching it, and it's so much water. He tells us in verse 35, and the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And here it was, the time of the evening sacrifice. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, all that time when they should have been offering sacrifices unto the Lord. But here it is that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. It was a simple prayer that he prayed, but he prayed it effectually and fervently. He was a righteous man, and here he is. He has faith in his God. And he said that it may be known, oh, that thou art the Lord God. These people who should have known, but were living in that state of confusion and didn't know anymore. Repeated it the second time, that thy people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And praise the Lord, God heard that prayer of this man, that simple prayer that came from his heart, that fervent prayer that he prayed. And I love what happened. Oh, then the fire of the Lord fell, verse 38, and consumed the burnt offering, or the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. Oh, by God doing all of that. Oh, yes. Using that fire to even burn the sacrifice, burn the wood, burn the stones, burn the water. Oh, praise the Lord. All of that, even the dust. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. See what Elijah was doing. He was turning the hearts of the children of Israel back to God. Oh, they were in a terrible state. And how we need, oh, people to be turned back to God. Oh, how we need that fervent glow of the Holy Ghost to burn up the dross and all the hindrances. Make us a fire and a flame for the word of God's sake, for the name of Jesus' sake. And so, another thing had to be done. He told them to take the prophets of Baal, that not one of them get away, that not one of them escape. They took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And this was necessary for them to get right with the Lord. Those things that they had been hanging on to, they had to go. They had to get right. So Elijah did everything that was necessary to get the people back to God, to get their affairs right with Almighty God. And so he knew at this point that it was time for God to send the rain. And here it is, he said to Ahab, who was watching all of this, oh, that backslidden man, that king of Israel, backslid from the living God. He said, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. But what did Elijah do? Ahab went up to eat and to drink. But Elijah went up to the Mount of Carmel, up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Oh, he was going to cry out to the Lord. He said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." Okay, so here it is. Elijah is on top of Carmel now. And he's cast himself down upon the earth, his head between his knees. And there he is. He prayed and he asked the Lord to send the rain. His servant went up and looked toward the sea. And there was nothing. There was nothing. And so again, Elijah prayed. The second time he prayed, his servant looked again. There was nothing. And a third time, fourth time, a fifth time, a sixth time, and so many people would have given up by now. But there was something in Elijah. Oh, he knew his God, the one that answered by fire, was going to send the rain. He knew there had to be an answer to this need. And so he prayed the seventh time. This time, oh, the servant saw something in the sky. It tells us in verse 44, "And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." Oh, just, you know, a little cloud, like the size of a man's hand. But God, oh, had given Elijah such faith, he knew what that cloud meant. Oh, yes, the rain was going to come, it was going to pour. And it says in verse 45, "And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel." Because Ahab was kind of watching. He was kind of a spectator, all of this. And here he is. He's going back to Jezreel, place where his palace was. But I'll tell you what, this Elijah, oh, this man of faith, oh, he didn't give up. He just prayed and prayed until it happened. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, tells us in verse 46. "He girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." I'll tell you what, Elijah outran the chariot that Ahab was in. Oh, whatever it was, he outran Ahab because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Oh, I'll tell you what we could do. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. And the Lord gives us faith that we can believe God in spite of things that look impossible, the things, oh, that, you know, are coming upon this earth, and the answers that we need. Oh, there is a God in heaven who sees it all, and there is such power and authority in prayer. Tells us now, if we turn here to the 18th chapter of Luke, this parable that Jesus told to this end, with a purpose that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Oh, what an important thing. You know, so many people, if you know, they had prayed. He prayed fervently. He was down there on his knees, his head between his knees. He was praying. And nothing happened until that seventh prayer had been prayed. Oh, how many people would have just said, "Okay, that's enough. Not going to happen." Just walked away, maybe after 2-3 times, maybe after 5 times. But Elijah knew it's going to happen. God answers. And here Jesus likewise gave this parable here, telling us that we ought always to pray and not to faint. And he told this story that there was a city, a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. Oh, an official that was against her. And I don't know. Could be it today that there are officials that might come against us. So it was, he said, Jesus. And verse 3 says, "And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of my adversary. And this judge, this unjust judge," it tells us in verse 4, "would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Oh, I don't know how many times she came. Maybe it was 40, 50 times. I don't know. Obviously it was a lot, you know, because he got really sick of her coming and coming and coming and coming and coming and coming and coming. He got to that place, I don't care. I don't fear God and I don't fear man. But, you know, I'm going to give her what she wants because she wearies me with her continuance, her coming all the time. And Jesus was saying, oh, hear what the unjust judge saith. And verse 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Oh, yes, our God is faithful. He hears our cries. And, you know, sometimes the answers don't always come immediately. Sometimes the answer is wait. Sometimes the answer is something else than what we would consider. God knows, but he is there. He hears the cries of his own people, of his own elect, which cry day and night. Oh, those cries that come from the heart, those needs that God's people have. We're not to be weary. We're not to give up. We're not to faint. Oh, it says in verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Oh, that question that echoes back to this moment of time when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I'll tell you what, how many people are willing to pray? Oh yeah, maybe once, maybe twice, you know, but how many people are coming to him fervently, praying with all the hearts, pouring out to the Lord until the answer comes? Oh, that's what faith does. Oh, faith knows no bounds. It pours itself out because it's something that the Lord puts within us, knowing that we have a God in heaven who cares for us. We can cast all our care upon him, for he careth for us. Oh, he is that strong and mighty tower. Oh, yes, he is the healer of all our diseases, the savior of our souls. And we can come to him. Oh, praise the Lord. One more place here. I see I'm running out of time. Praise the Lord. If we go to Matthew, the 21st chapter. Jesus again speaking here. And oh, he had just rebuked that fig tree that was not bearing forth fruit. And it withered away. And the disciples marveled at it. But Jesus said in verse 21... of Matthew 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. That's faith in operation. Yes, that's believing God. And then he says in verse 22, in all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Praise the Lord, the promises of God, the power of prayer. All things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Oh, praise the Lord, there is a God in heaven that hears us and knows how to intervene in our affairs. Praise the Lord. If we're only willing to cry out to him and believe in his promises. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that thou hearest us and that thou carest. I pray that you would put that faith in our hearts and all that persistency, Lord. Oh God, that continual coming to thee, Lord. A faith that doesn't faint, Lord. And prayer that, oh Lord, continues, Lord, until the answers come. Oh faith, oh Lord, that does not faint in the day of adversity, oh Lord, in the time of trouble. But, oh Lord, continues to believe you, Lord, no matter what is coming upon the face of this earth. I pray, oh Lord, that you'd help us. Oh Lord, that you'd draw us close to you. To give us a faith, oh Lord, that does not faint. oh Lord, and the ability, the cry of our heart, Lord, to pray without ceasing, oh God, to come before Thee, Lord, with faith, believing, oh Lord, that You hear and will answer. Praise Thee, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Our God is mighty, looking for faith, looking for those that would cry out to Him. Amen.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we are going to turn to number 95 in the chorus book and sing Hallelujah, He's an Answering God. Number 95.
Hallelujah, He's an answering God.
Dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.